Hello and welcome to the first Comic Roast of 2017. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. I'm here with Chris. You can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we're celebrating the triumphant return of Damian, who you can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. Our number one for the week is the Lock and Key one-shot that just came out. That was Christopher's pick, so get ready for that. And our over-under is going to be... Wow, childhood toys. Brian's fist pumping with an angry face. I have no idea what's going on, but I guess let's unmute him and find out what's so pumped.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
I follow like all these board game companies online on Facebook, and I just saw that Asmodee is doing like digital versions of like all their game catalog. So they've released Mysterium for Android, iOS, and iOS is Apple, right?
Yeah.
So Amazon, iOS, and Android now has a digital version of Mysterium. So now for like $4, I can try Mysterium, see if it's worth buying.
And you don't have to worry about getting the rules wrong.
I thought you had that game.
I don't have Mysterium. I want to play it, but I don't want to spend $50 for it necessarily.
Yeah, because I've heard you mention it more than once.
You know what I do have on the Amazon
say I
box?
I spent $50. I spent $50 on everything,
and it was free on Amazon Fire TV box. I got a Ticket to Ride. Nailed it.
Well, we already know that game's awesome, though.
And yeah, she don't
but it's
care.
Free on Amazon's thing. It's actually like $5 on Android.
Oh, yeah, $5 is worth it because that game is super great.
I mean, it is, but I'm just saying I got it for free.
But I'm gonna get. I'm
hashtag nailed it.
Hashtag nailed.
I feel like if I don't say the hashtag, it doesn't have the same emphasis that it should.
I missed you guys.
Well, we missed you too, actually. So
that's why we didn't do it. We were like, "Fuck it! If Damien's not gonna do it, we're not gonna do it."
Yeah.
And you know, just we just got lazy. We got really lazy for the last month.
Oh, who's this gal?
It was busy.
Brian
it was
follows.
A busy month. It was a very busy month for me. So.
Well, you figure, you know, I watched all your Instagrams and snaps of the works and the trade shows and the lots of stuff going on. I don't know if you've ever seen how familiar you are with board games, but there's a game out there called Super Dungeon Explorer, and I was telling my friend Jeff how much I wanted to play it, so he decided to buy it, and he just gave it to me because when we're going to play it, we're going to play it at your house, so here, take it. Well, I take it home and open it up to learn how to play it, and there's like 40 miniatures in there, and they all need to be put together. So I'm like, great. So I spent spent three nights last week just sitting here with crazy glue and just gluing all these little figurines together. So yeah, nice. that's what took up my time. And that I've been doing some reading on my comic books. And can we just take a minute to talk about how awesome Black Hammer is? I'm not caught up fully, but I've read, I think, 4 or 5 issues. That thing is amazing.
I like it.
I think I'm at 3 in, and I've really enjoyed it. I stopped it too. Bummed I couldn't find the most recent one.
Oh man! Well, if it's number 6, I have an extra one. You're more than welcome to it.
I love the covers for all of them because all the regular covers are good, but the variant covers are exceptionally amazing.
The ones that Jeff Lemire did.
Yes.
Well, before we were on here, I was mentioning I double bought issue 6, but I also double bought issue number 2. But it's 2 separate covers, so I'm keeping them both because I love this.
It's really good.
I guess I have to go back and read it.
It's just so...
sexy.
It's super weird, but it has that Jeff Lemire thing where there's these moments where you just feel like there's 2 characters kind of just staring at each other and like they don't know what to say, which he's really good at doing.
Like I feel like it's kind of been done before, but I feel like it's super original at the same time.
I just think it's awesomely... It's as if Jeff Lemire went back to 1939 and said, "Hey guys, what's going on? I want to make comics," and they're like, "All right, do some stuff." Except I don't think they really know what to make of what he's doing.
I know what to make of it.
They're like, "It looks like our stuff and it feels like our stuff, but it's totally..."
I just like the names of the characters, like Captain Pants and...
I wish there was a guy named Captain Pants and he was just a pair of pants.
That'd be amazing.
Well, there's
Jeff Lemire would totally pull that off. Sometime.
Captain Pants and...
You know what I think I like
the most? Electromagneta.
Is the beginnings of every issue seem to have a backstory on one of the characters. And since there's like 6 or 7 of them living in that farmhouse, so every issue, you get a little piece of how they became, you know, the superhero they were and how they are now not. But... I don't know how far you guys are, so I don't want to talk about
it. The 35-year-old slut that's trapped in a 9-year-old body that wants to drink and smoke all the time is awesome.
She's actually in her 50s, which makes it even better. Especially when when the main guy's girlfriend came over for dinner and she dressed all goth and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
I was like, "Yeah, it's fucking pretty killer."
Let's see. Last month, what else? Oh, you know what else I've been doing? This has been going on for probably years for me. I've been out because everyone is so gaga all the time over anime. So I'm like, I need to get on this anime train. But every time I try to grab a book off the shelf, I'm just like, man, I just feel like a real creeper grabbing this book. I don't know why, but it's always the big eyes, the big boobs, the half naked teenagers on the cover. I'm like, this is weird. Whatever. But anywho, I started watching on Netflix. I watched Lady Death, and that was okay, and it's super high-rated. It's okay.
You gotta watch Berserk.
Well, Netflix has an original series called Knights of Sidonia. I started
watching. I watched the whole thing of that.
It's rated MA. I'm like, oh, they probably just threw some boobs in there to get MA. I'm like, okay, there's no nudity. It's MA because it's super violent. So I'm like almost done with the first season, and every single episode I'm like, oh, my God. This show is so fucking good.
It's fucking cool. They have to fucking fight herpes in space, pretty much.
That show is... I couldn't be happier with it so far.
And everyone starts out asexual, and then, get older... Yeah, it depends on who they, take a liking to, then they'll,
It's weird. They don't eat. They, photosynthesize.
Yeah, they barely eat.
They have to eat, once a week or something. I don't want to say too much, but it's...
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm almost done with season one, and then I'm going to do...
You got to watch Berserker, though.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, actually. Well, there's a trilogy. The third
one... The movies are
Well, I think they grouped them in the movies, but there's Berserk 1. I think I saw the first one on Netflix, and I saw the second one on YouTube, or vice versa. But I've seen 1 and 2, and I've seen some of the newer ones on that Crunchyroll app.
I've heard of it, yes.
So, but that one's fucking awesome, because that one's just hyper-violent.
I like it.
He carries around a fucking sword that's fucking... 10 times bigger than him, wields it with one hand, and literally he decapitates people in half, 20 people at once.
I feel like I need to do this.
I like it.
Other than that, I haven't really been doing much with the last month of my life, so I guess, what about you, Brian, with your ugly Christmas sweater on?
I know, right? I went super nuts buying board games with my Christmas bonus, so I have acquired 15 new games in the last month and a half. One of them is King of Tokyo, which is the funnest, stupid game of all time. And like I explained on Friday, it's basically 70% luck and 30% guitar solos. And the game is just stupid, and it's awesome, and everybody should buy it because it's great. And I know that Tony from Salty Language likes it because he posts about it constantly on Instagram, so... He knows what I'm talking about. I also watched that weird show on Netflix, Haters Back Off. It's that girl from... I think she's actually from Seattle. What's her name?
Yeah, you probably know her.
Colleen Ballinger, is that her name?
Possibly. I watched them go crazy.
Yeah, it had one star. I'm like, it can't be that bad, because it's got Angela from The Office. And it's got that guy from Eastbound and Down, it's Steve Little guy. It can't be that terrible. I think people, they either love that Colleen girl or they hate her. Because she's, another YouTube star in real life. But her YouTube thing is a character, which is that character from the show. I can see why people are annoyed with her in the beginning. But, after you go on, you start to get to see, her as a character. I don't know. I think this show's pretty good, actually. She kind of reminds me of if Ernest P. Worrell was a woman and a wannabe diva. But a super huge nerd at the same time. And there's just so many weird moments. The part where they are filming the commercial in the fish store and all the fish die because the lights are on too high and they die of they overcook all the fish or whatever. So then instead of throwing them in the toilet where they probably should go, she takes them home and tries to make dinner out of them, which is super weird. It's just so many weird. There's a weird thing where the pipes drain out into the yard, so I'll just. Pretty disgusting, but there's it's a lot of weird stuff like that, but it's super amusing, and I don't understand why people hate it so much.
Remind me a little bit of Get a Life in weird way.
Yeah, totally.
That show did not hold up whatsoever.
I'm sure it didn't, but I mean, when I was a kid, I was just whoa, this is this is so strange.
Dude, I loved that show when I was a kid. And then, like, when I was going through my I'm going to download the world phase, I found it. I downloaded the two seasons, and I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah. Some things just age like hot cream, you know? It just doesn't...
Oh, dude. That was gross.
Well, I'm sure, like, it's the same thing. Like, I'm sure, like, Herman's Head was the most weird thing ever created when it came out, but if you put it on now, you'd be like, this is the stupidest show of all time.
I don't know. I feel like I might be into it still.
All right. I guess we're going to...
Guess I'm going to download that now.
Ill. Other than that, just, like, the same stupid things I always do. Board games, weird TV shows, and spending 3 hours getting my copy of Twilight Imperium ready to hopefully play in the next year.
Sounds awesome.
So I just got to get, like, a 9-hour block of time to do that, which means I probably have
to... Don't worry, we'll be playing Scythes.
You have no idea how pumped I am for that.
Oh, that's right. You guys are all together right now, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He doesn't have Scythe with him, though.
No, it's coming.
Really depressing.
Brian doesn't want me here until I actually have it in hand.
That's pretty much why I tell him, don't bring yourself here without Scythe ever again.
That's awesome.
It does look cool. I do admit it does look cool. That's like one of the only games I've ever heard of where, like, you actually get penalized for fighting. The combat, you can combat, but, like, you almost don't want to.
So that's the game with the really awesome paintings, right?
Oh yeah, that dude. Our last podcast is when Brian. That's how I found out Brian and Scott were talking about. Brian was mentioning it, so I went and looked it up after the podcast, and I was like, "Holy fuck, dude! This game looks cool."
Yeah, I can't remember the dude's name right now off the top of my head, but his stuff is amazing. So is this game, like, based off his paintings? Was that the idea?
Yeah,
like,
he based it. I think he did. He based it off of his paintings. He came up with the game off just from his paintings, didn't he? That's at least what it sounds like.
Wouldn't it be just the artwork for the box? Like,
I don't...
No, I think he saw the artwork.
So what came first, the art or the box?
No, I think the artwork came first and then the game. Like, he's basing it off his artwork.
All right, I need to get my artwork out there. I want people to... Actually, we should get Gorse's artwork out there. I want to see a tennis game where you play tennis against a rhinoceros.
But Brian sold me when he said, farming, mechs, and 1920s. I was like, dude, I'm like, that actually sounds awesome.
It's just because you want to wear overalls. No?
I honestly don't know. I saw the game, and I was like, that looks amazing, and it's made by Stonemaier Games. I want it now, because Stonemaier Games are the best.
They must be, because for that dude to make $1.8 million in his Kickstarter alone...
Holy crap.
Yeah, you didn't know that he made that much in Kickstarter?
I knew it was a Kickstarter project. I didn't know it made
he
that
much. He got $1.8 million.
Because I thought Dark Souls was, like, the best Kickstarter of 2016 as far as money goes, because it made, like, $4 million in, like, 2 days.
Really? He made $1.8. I forgot. He did that in a short amount of time, too, they said. $1.8.
Huh.
That's fucking a lot.
Well, yeah. No, because there's one... that game, Kingdom Death Monster, is the highest moneyed Kickstarter of all time.
Really?
But the game itself costs, like, $130.
Ooh.
But people are paying it because they want it. They're buying, like, the super rare Kickstarter edition. It's like $200.
Guess I'm going to start making board games out of the garage.
Well, yeah, I saw there was like 4 different editions of Scythe on your Kickstarter.
And you got the cheap one. Way
hell
to go.
Yeah, I did.
It's going to suck.
I have a feeling it's not.
It's going to come with sorry pieces.
It's just going to be a little, like, post-it note inside of an empty box. Just says sorry.
It says, ha-ha.
I meant the game sorry.
Oh.
Like just little pegs instead of actual.
Well,
like, cool
I
game
I bought
pieces.
The game and I bought the Invaders from Afar expansion with it, so those are both coming at the same time.
I like it.
Who made those paintings?
His name is like it's some Polish artist, I guess.
Me.
Yeah, Scott Ryder, Polish. Yeah.
I'm Polish,
ish
or ish German ish Italian ish Scotch Irish ish, mutt ish.
Like I keep seeing like. Reviews and stuff on YouTube. I keep watching, and I keep watching all these assholes playing that game. I'm like, fuck.
Jakub Rosalowski?
Yeah.
Rosalski. Jakub Rosalski. I can't say this.
Well, his art, his
that,
paintings
that,
are amazing, though.
Enough. I just looked up paintings of robots and werewolves, because I remember that was like, those were like kind of the big fantastical things that are in those paintings. They're so good. Oh my god, they're so good. Someone should do a game based on his werewolf paintings, too.
I bet you that's probably in the works.
Probably.
Yeah, the man definitely has talent, I think. There's no denying that.
He has one painting. If you go to the designyoutrust.com and search for him, they have a list of like probably 20 or 30 of his paintings. My favorite one here is, it looks like a guy out for a walk and he's like in the distance and his dog is obviously like run up ahead and is sort of, you know, halfway through the painting. And right in the foreground facing away from you is like the traveling gnome, but like a real version of it. Like the little like gnome with like the little orange pointy hat.
That could be creepy.
It's kind of cool. Like it looks like he's really like, oh shit, there's a dog. Like,
no, there's actually just tons of his paintings just for the game alone. You see it?
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
All that?
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah, but I'm.
But I mean, he's got all these. Like that's just they're just paintings of it. And I think he just based the game off of that.
Maxing 1920s Russians.
And farming.
There's this awesome painting near the bottom where it looks like someone's walking up the steps to like probably like the Kremlin or something, you know, circa 1910, where there's like a you know, a czar standing there with his queen, and someone's walking up to meet them, and then in front of all the pillars are these dire wolves. It's just like these giant dire wolf looking things, and then off to the right there's some weird little like robot. It's just they're so cool. Like they just tell you just a really interesting story about, you know, an alternate world. I don't know, I think they're beautiful.
Yeah, I think he's kind of redefining the whole steampunk thing.
Yeah, so there's painting what looks like a Russian villager with what I can only describe as a lightsaber fighting werewolves. <That's strange. laughs> I'd say it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from the bottom. So I recommend people check that out. That guy's great.
You want a little fun fact on that traveling gnome? Because I'm sure you're talking about the Travelocity guy?
Yeah.
That actually, they got that idea from the movie Amelie.
That is a great movie.
I love that movie. Seen it like 3 times already.
I watched Moonstruck.
That's weird.
I wanted to pick a movie.
Like every time I'm just sitting around and I'm bored, I'm like, man, I just feel like watching a movie. What do I put on? I'm going to watch Amelie. And I just put it on. Every 2 months I have to watch that movie. Whatever. All right. So, are we all caught up, or?
I think so.
All right. Well, then I guess Chris will have to put his phone down and talk about our number one.
All right. Lock and Key. On IDW. Standalone issue. Joe Hill, also really known as Joseph King.
Son of?
Yeah. Stephen King.
I was just trying to help you along. You keep pausing.
No, I know who he is. Excuse me. Now, I've read Lock and Key, the whole thing, as opposed to someone else who has not.
Neither have I, so it's more than
I was
just
more
one.
Referring to your brother.
I know.
As usual, I'm ignoring you, so keep going.
Then once I bring the game in, he'll be like, hey, Chris, oh, dude, what's going
on? Hey, buddy.
No, but this is a standalone issue. I want to say it takes place late 1800s. They don't really say. But I don't really feel like it was necessary to do. I don't think it really has any weight in the actual story alone, the actual Lock and Key, you know, saga, if you want to call it. This is just another one of those, like, you know, a spot in time, you know, just happens to be this day. It's like, you know, you're looking at something that, like, happened within a time frame of a day of the Locke family, but it was almost like it was like a joke. It was like they almost like it was like it was for fun. It's like they were kidding around with it. I don't, you know, basically the little girl gets a present from her father, Chamberlain Locke. I'm gonna name my son that, Chamberlain.
That'd be neat.
Yeah. And it's just basically, you know. You know, some things start getting bigger and smaller, but, you know, none of the family is, if you notice, like when I was reading it, none of them are like surprised by it. They're like, oh, it's got to be that key. Someone was tampering with this key. Someone was messing with this key. Like even the little girls, they're obviously aware of the keys and they know what's going on. But I was totally like kind of like taken back by the fact that like they do know what's going on because none of them was like surprised by what was going on. Like there's a 10-foot spider in our house. Oh. That's all they say is, oh. Oh, we're in trouble. Well, otherwise like the normal person sees a 10-foot spider in their house and you like basically shit your pants run out the house. They're trying to fucking fight it. Mom and dad are having a moment alone in the dollhouse. This is a really weird story. a really weird standalone. But again, the artwork was fantastic. But it was a fine story. And it wasn't going to make or break, the series. I don't know why they did it. I mean, obviously they just did it just for, like, I guess maybe they just had some, like, story, in the back. Maybe it was something that was omitted from, like, the actual Lock and Key singles from, like, 2011, I think it was. Yeah. But if you enjoy Lock and Key, I mean, check it out. I mean, it's, if you miss it, you're not missing much. That's just my opinion of it. I mean, it was fine. I think I was expecting a little bit more from it. Maybe I was expecting, like, a little bit more behind the lore or the legend of the Keys, as opposed to, like, looking at, like, this day and time of the Locke family's, like, ancestors, and then basically, like, fucking around with the Keys, like, for their amusement. So, Brian?
I have no idea what you read, because I feel like you didn't read the same book that I did.
Then what was your impression of it? Because that's the impression I got from it.
It seemed to me like the two daughters got the dollhouse as a gift,
right.
But
right.
It was basically the older daughter was told that the younger daughter wasn't old enough to play at the dollhouse by herself, and inside the dollhouse were little miniature replicas of all the people that lived in the house.
Right.
But what they were doing inside the house was actually affecting the people, the little dolls living in the house. And then when they turned the key later on, what was happening inside the house was also coming through their own house. So it was basically like this multi-dimensional thing where if the little girl pulled the one guy in the bathtub down the stairs, inside the dollhouse, he's actually like, oh my God, what's happening? I'm going down the stairs in a bathtub and I'm totally, what's going on? And then when the little spider crawled, because she turned the key and didn't turn it back. From what I remember, it looked like she turned the key and didn't turn it back, so basically it opened the dimensions between the house, the dollhouse, and then whatever was outside.
Oh, okay.
Because there was a part where the cat stuck his paw through the dollhouse, and all of a sudden this gigantic paw comes flying through the window in the actual house.
And smashes the spider.
Yeah, and then when the spider starts crawling around the dollhouse and putting all the little figurines in a web, all of a sudden this gigantic 10-foot spider is crawling through the house.
Oh, okay.
So each thing just, was affecting
I'm
the next.
I'm stupid, I guess.
I took it as two separate realities, and the people
I thought
were,
it was the same.
Sometimes the people were in the house, and then when they turned the key, now they were in the dollhouse.
Yeah, I thought it was the same. Like, I thought they were kind of like messing with it for like their own amusement, like they're going on vacation. Like, I'm gonna go and go in the little dollhouse.
I just figured
now.
Everybody was doing their own thing like they normally do, but then the little girl turned the key, which put everybody from the big house into the little house, and that's kind of the way I took it. So when the little girl's pulling them down the stairs, that's because she was literally pulling them down the stairs. I don't think that's what was happening in the big house. I think it was all happening.
It wasn't in the beginning.
Within the dollhouse, because right. When she turned the key, they all went into the dollhouse.
No, see,
that's the way I read it.
I read it as like the figurines actually have little personalities and lives of their own, and they get affected when the girls move the figurines around the house and when things crawl inside the little house. But when she turned the key, and it, like, from what I remember, didn't put it back to close the dimension, it left it open for those things that were happening inside the dollhouse to also now all of a sudden start coming. Because it wasn't until the end, until the actual spider is going through the house and the big giant cat's paw came through the window.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, Damien hasn't read it, so he can't.
No need to now.
Give his like fourth story here, but like the three of us read it. We got three different views on. I wonder if that's what they wanted. They just
maybe he was successful.
I mean,
then
or we're just all stupid.
And
but.
I read the thing at the end with the interview that Ted Adams did with both Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, and it sounds to me like this is the number one of a 36 issue continuation. Because from what I understand, this is actually Lock and Key Small World. So this is a whole new set of stories in the Lock and Key universe. It's like basically this.
But he's going back,
It made it sound like this is not a one-shot. This is the first issue of a new 36-issue
That's neat.
Because it was being marketed as a one-shot.
They probably wanted to see how well it would do.
Yeah, well, it sold out in like 5 seconds at our shop, so yeah, I think it's probably doing okay.
Well, your shop probably didn't get very many.
Lori said she ordered about 20, and they were gone in 2 days, and then she ordered another round, and those went right away, too. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected, then.
No, Lock and Key's fairly popular, I think. I mean, they're already into pre-production phase of the TV.
Yeah, but they've been fucking around with that for the last 5 years, though, haven't they?
IDW has some new thing now where they're going to fast track like all their TV projects and movie projects, and Lock and Key is like next on the list. So that's actually being cast and all that stuff.
Definitely see that being a TV series.
It is going to be a TV series.
Yeah.
Am I in it?
You're not in it.
Fuck.
But also I wanted to mention, in the back of the issue, there was an ad for the new 3-volume Lock and Key Library editions, and oh my god, I want those. Just thought I'd bring that up because they look amazing.
It's good if you haven't read it, Damien. The actual Lock and Key.
I think I'm actually going to sell the ones I have and try and get the library.
I got all the same.
It's on my list. I've never read it. I actually kind of tried to tune out a little bit there. Just little moments would pop in when you guys were talking about like cats and spiders. I was like, wow, I have no idea what's going on. But I see it at the shop all the time. It's been going on for so long. It's like, all right, I'm going to have to like bear down, trade, and just go for it.
When I started reading it, I actually got pretty engrossed in it. And I did it in a week. I read all 30-something issues of it.
I remember that because it was right after I got the first hardcover, and I read it, and I was telling you how good it was, and you're like, oh, I'll check that out. And then, like, next week, you're like, yeah, I read the whole. Well, I guess I suck.
I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
No, it's awesome.
It is awesome. The actual Lock and Key is actually a lot more gritty than this one standalone.
Well, that's the other thing, too, in an interview they did in the back of the issue, Joe Hill said that I don't know how much he worked on. I guess he was sort of involved in that adaptation of The Shrinking Man, but he said that was what inspired this first issue.
Oh.
So.
I get it, man. Totally.
Yeah, see, it makes a lot more sense when you put it in that context. I'm like, oh, okay, the spider and the cat. Yeah, all right. Because I remember in that The Shrinking Man adaptation, he was fighting the spider in the basement, and the whole thing with the cat was like eyeing him as food as he kept getting smaller and smaller. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Into it.
Yeah, I want to reread that. That was super fun.
I'm just sad that was only 4 issues, because I thought that was going to go on for a minute.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
I'm like, wait a minute, he's already disappeared into the grass? I just started collecting this thing.
So, do we want a number?
Sure.
All right. Chris, what you got?
Like I said, like, it's fine, and I guess as a standalone, I mean, being someone that has already read Lock and Key, you know, like, I guess I'm still trying to think like where this fits in with the actual, you know, Lock and Key, you know, the key fam, you know, the Lock family that, you know, 2000 whatever, being that this is obviously their ancestor. And like I said, I mean, to me, it just shows like a day in time of their lives, you know. But if anything, I would say probably 7.5.
The idea of another round of Lock and Key is super exciting to me. And
well,
to
yeah,
me,
I'm all about it too.
To me, like contemporary horror stories, they're easily in the top 5 of any medium for me. Probably them, that American Vampire, and I don't know what else at this point. But yeah, I'm 8.5 easily, just based on the possibility that there's going to be more of this. I'm super excited because I love this.
Yeah,
book.
But what about the book on its own merits?
8.5. Okay. I totally enjoyed it. I hope there's more, and if there's not more, I'll take it as it is, because giant spiders and
cats,
multi-dimensions all kind of channeled through a weird dollhouse. I'm super into it.
Yeah, I was, like I said, it was a little, I don't want to say weird, but like, I've only read the first 2, I think, so this was completely just like separate from the rest, so that was a little...
That's the only thing that's throwing me off.
I don't want to say off-putting, but it's just, you know. But, I mean, the story itself was neat. The art was cool. But, I mean, obviously.
Oh, no. Gabriel Rodriguez is fucking phenomenal.
You got three people who read it here with 3 different ideas of how it actually all went down. So, but, yeah, if this is the beginning of a whole new Lock and Key series, that's exciting. I'm going to go with 7, though, because it was just, you know, it was decent. It was good. But, you know,
Yeah, my only thing is I'm just kind of...
kind of want to reread it now, especially knowing that if it is going to go forward into a whole 30-some-odd book series, then, you know, that changes things.
I'd like to know how it fits into the whole Lock and Key universe.
Well, if it's a prequel.
It's all about the house.
Well, yeah, but, like...
It's all about the keys.
The keys and the house.
It's all about, like, the locks. To me, like I said, it's just showing, like, a day in the time of the Lock family.
Right.
In, like, you know, 1890, whatever.
Maybe that's how they
and I just
want to
know.
Keys.
Well, I'm just curious how it has any significance in the future with the actual Lock and Key story. So
it means when it gets to TV, goodbye Walking Dead.
I doubt it.
They got to wrap that show soon, by the way.
It's Lovecraftian, so I don't know if Damien's going to want to read it.
They never will wrap up The Walking Dead. They're going to milk that for everything they can.
I don't know. I'd say Lock and Key is barely Lovecraftian. I mean, really, the only thing is the town.
It was inspired. Well, I mean, it's...
The town is Lovecraft. Yeah. But other than that, like, you don't see Cthulhu popping up.
Well, no.
Yet. True. Maybe he may make an appearance. Maybe he's their butler.
Awesome.
Cthulhu butler. I'm into it. Or he's the mailman. It's like, what's with the tentacles? Be like, shut up. Here's your mail.
I got nothing. I was trying to think of something witty, and I just failed.
For a minute, I'm like, man, that joke bombed really bad.
It just took me a minute to get my head around. And I had to pick.
He's just trying to be nice.
It's probably the case, but I mean, whatever.
Well, I was also, Miles Grabb's also going crazy on a bunch of people on something I posted on Facebook, so I was reading some of that too. Miles is awesome, man. He loves to fight people online.
I don't know what he's fighting about, but must be pretty interesting.
Okay. It's okay. He's doing it right now, so.
Oh, all right.
I don't know if you guys ever follow Miles, but it's pretty much stuff about the 49ers and atheism and him attacking people who identify as progressives who he thinks are not being progressive enough. And that's pretty fun.
He's very, very strong-minded.
He is. No, I love it. He argues with me sometimes, too, and it's pretty great.
All righty.
But I'll give this one shot a 10. I think it's great.
Perfect. God, don't be taking pictures, yeah, you weirdo.
Nobody needs to see my Captain America.
Christmas Chris is starting the official Comic Rose Instagram, apparently. So.
Oh yeah, you know, I thought there was one, and I tried to tag it, but it does not exist.
There's a review and roast one. Just mentioning to Brian this morning, like, why? Or maybe it was yesterday. Like, we don't have one. Maybe we should get one.
It's probably not the worst idea. I'll start one up.
You just take a, you know, have the image of the book that's going to be reviewed next week too, so it's easy for people to find and easy for me to remember what it is.
Yeah, Brian, why aren't you on this?
All right, I'll start it today.
There you go. Then by the time this airs, we'll have an official Comic Roast Instagram. Get on it. Nailed it. And a review and roast one, so get on that too, so you can see all of our awesome posts about all the cool cosplay box that we're subscribed to from Level 42.
We're also going to be doing some board game podcasts this year, too.
Yeah, we're gonna really jump up on the step up on the board game podcast stuff and hopefully get back onto the movie stuff soon. See, while we haven't been podcasting, we haven't been doing a lot of talking about podcasting, so get ready, people. I guess that's about all I got, so do we over-under?
Yep.
Oh, jeez. All right, so our over-under is childhood toys. Now, I'm going to go back to my childhood. I didn't have, like, you know, a ton of toys.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I'm going to go overrated childhood toys. I feel like all toys were fun. This is going to be a hard one. Hold on a second.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's hard to say overrated from the perspective of when you played with them, because when you played with them, like, they were only as limited as your imagination, like...
Yeah, I mean,
I had like massive, you know, love triangles and political conspiracy and stuff with like, you know, 3 G.I. Joe figures.
See,
dude,
I mean,
stop
I used to
the fucking pictures.
I used to play with sharpened sticks. So I mean, like, that was awesome when I was doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I did a lot of dumb stuff when I was. You know what? I take that back. Overrated childhood toy, ColecoVision.
What?
We only knew one person that had it. He'd never let me play it, so fuck that system.
Yeah. There weren't many people you knew that had it, and like it only seemed like there was like 6 games actually available.
Well, here's the weird thing, because the system, like I said, there was only one kid we knew he had it, and he was like the weird kid that you didn't really want to talk to anyway, but he had Coleco, so everyone was like, dude, let's go to Kenny's. You know what I mean? So I was like, and he never let me fucking play it, so fuck him, fuck that system, that system's terrible.
I think as a kid, because Donkey Kong looked exactly like it did in the arcade, like made me like romanticize that system.
Yeah, it did.
And I had this idea in my head for decades that the Smurfs game was like the height of amazing. And then when you downloaded that modulator or whatever that thing was, the emulator a couple of years ago, we turned it on and we started playing the Smurfs game. I'm like, holy, this game is terrible. Like,
dude, I couldn't get more than 4 seconds in without dying.
It's poorly designed on a scale I can't even really wrap my head. Like Pitfall is like a 4D super experience by way of comparison. The Smurfs game is the biggest piece of shit ever, and I've read that Swamp Thing for Nintendo is one of the worst games ever. I am going to go ahead and say it's probably better. I think we actually played it, and I think I liked Swamp Thing better, and that's a pretty bad game, too.
So there. That's my pick.
All right, well, mine's super easy. Does anyone remember those electronic football games that they had in the 80s?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
They still sell those.
In the 80s, I remember this kid. This kid that I was best friends with in third through fifth grade, anything I got, he got, like, the steroided version of. So if I got two He-Man guys, he got 40. So when I got my stupid electronic football game, he got that, but all 30 teams. I only had two teams. And because he had all 30 teams, I thought, oh, my God, this game is amazing. So when I got mine and I actually plugged it in and I'm like, none of these guys are going the way I want them to go. Why is that guy running backwards? I was like, even as a 7 or 8 year old, I was like, this fucking thing sucks. Because the guys are running backwards. They're just spinning around in a circle. No one has the ball. How am I ever going to get through four quarters of this shit? And I didn't even really know the rules. So I was just like, I think I plugged it in twice. And I'm like, this is the fucking biggest waste of money ever. So yeah, that thing is total garbage. You have to love football to a, like, unholy degree to really appreciate that.
Don't worry, I didn't take a picture.
Do you have an over-under?
Do I have an over-under?
Or an overrated, rather.
Yeah, I do, actually. GoBots.
Ah, yes. The Dime Store Transformers.
Yeah, because those things came out first.
Yep.
So I remember seeing a commercial for GoBots. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. Robots that turn into cars and jets kick ass. So I get Psy-Kill in Leader 1, and then all of a sudden I see a commercial for Transformers, and I'm looking at my GoBots, and I'm like, what a fucking shaft.
I would actually just like to point out two things. One, if Jeff was here right now, he'd punch Brian in the balls because he loves those old vibrating football games. And two, let's also just point out that Chris just dropped the name of two GoBots. I don't think anyone else can do that.
There's only two I know.
That's two more than everyone else on the planet, though.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I did that in a cartoon for a minute, right?
Yeah, for a hot minute. Until Transformers came along, and you know those guys that invented GoBots are going, oh, fuck.
Yeah, totally.
Son of a bitch!
They all put gun barrels in their mouths. And they're like...
It was such a night and day difference that Transformers' tagline could have been way better, GoBots.
sorry for your eardrums, listeners.
Sorry.
Well, in the in the cartoon, if you remember, because remember the Transformers, when you transformed it, from the car or the plane or whatever, often like things like the face and the hands and feet, like kind of they did a pretty good job of making them disappear.
It actually looked like a car.
Yeah, but GoBots didn't really try very hard.
No.
Like it's just sort of like this guy's standing up, now he's laying down, and he's a car. Yeah. That's about it. But in the cartoon, they totally embrace that. So, like, a car would go off a jump, and then you'd, like, see his face, and he'd be like, I'm going to land this great, or whatever. Like, you'd see him talking, like, from the bottom of the car. It was super weird.
Now I want to see these. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that actually sounds super amazing.
It's, like, the
only
scene I remember at all. And who knows if I even remember it correctly, but, I mean, it was, like, what, 25, 30 years ago or something? 40 years ago?
No, 30-something.
My God.
Yeah.
30 years ago.
40 years ago. That's
well,
so
I guess I'd be one.
Well, I remember like the leader of the bad guys, Psy-Kill. He turned into a motorcycle, but all it was is like he would like
a tire popped out of his crotch and face, and now he's a motorcycle.
No, he'd have two wheels, one on each shoulder, and then they would just miraculously he would hold on to one wheel, and his feet would hold on to the other wheel, and he would just kind of crouch into the motorcycle position, and then that was it.
It's not too
You can do that right now with stuff you buy at the arcade.
Yeah.
I can
transform into a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
I think you're selling me on GoBots all of a sudden.
I mean, there's kind of a sadness to them that kind of makes them sort of endearing right now.
I know. Just the fact you have like a car driving and like you hear a voice talking and then you have to like lift the top half of the car up to go, oh, he's underneath there.
You know what's
okay.
Worse is that I actually remember like the whole song for the commercials.
If you want to sing it, I'm really wanting to hear it. So,
GoBots, mighty vehicles.
I don't remember laughing in this song. Keep going.
No, that's all I remember of it.
What, is there a chorus?
I don't know. That's the only like little tagline that I remember. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Are you pulling it up on your phone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, God. He's going to play it over the microphone now.
Not if I turn it off.
Why? Why would you want to?
I don't know, because it always sounds terrible.
We could... We could always put it as the song at the end of the episode.
Does that sound terrible?
Yes, it does.
I mean, for different reasons, but...
And... Sounds like it should be like GoBots Musical Theater.
Right?
Like the GoBots Variety
GoBots on
Hour.
Broadway?
The GoBots Variety Hour starring Sonny Bono.
This is like the worst time, the worst part of Tangerine Dream's career right here.
They're like, well, we had one hit and then the GoBots song, and now we're working at Dunkin' Donuts. Our lives did not go well at all.
That's awesome.
Did you have one yet? Or did...
I already said it.
No,
oh, Damien.
No, not yet. I was trying to think. I think I came up. I was trying to think of like of all the toys I played with when I was a kid. Which one did I think was kind of lame? I think Mask. You guys
really?
Remember Mask?
Like the movie?
Yeah.
No, dude. I thought those were cool.
Wait, what? This is a thing?
You don't remember Mask? It was, Mobile Armor Strike Command.
Oh my God! You remember the acronym?
I had a good childhood. Sorry.
No, awesome I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they looked pretty cool. I think for me, it was the first time I remember as a kid being like, oh, man, they just made this to make a cartoon just to sell us toys. Like, the first time I, like, that sort of capitalism actually crept into my mind.
Dude,
like,
the leader of the bad guys was Miles Mayhem.
It's so weird how you remember all this stuff. Quick, name 35 Muscle Man. Go.
I still have mine.
I could probably dig a few out if I really
I even had a poster.
If he named 3 muscle men, I'd be blown away. 35 is like, I'd have to like change my religion or something. I mean, I'd have to have a religion, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that was the only thing about Mask. I thought the designs were actually pretty cool, and the idea was okay. It was just weird. It was like, here's a motorcycle that also becomes a helicopter.
Right.
And then like, why is that? Why are you stuck to that motorcycle helicopter forever? Like, there's the other guy who has the truck that turns into the A-team truck that turns into a tank. Like, that's all he can ever drive? Like, it just seemed weird to me.
IDW is bringing Mask back, or they already have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have.
Nice. If it's like, super gritty, I would be interested.
I don't know. It's that whole Revolution initiative they're doing.
Miles Mayhem was awesome, dude. He looked like Hitler.
That's a really weird... Wow. That is a fridge too far for me right now.
I'm not saying that's awesome, but I mean,
you already did.
Actually, kind of weird how. Well, they even gave him like a weird German uniform.
Keep on going, digging that hole.
But hold on, his vehicle was actually cool because it was either a helicopter and then it would turn into a jet.
Yep, that hole's getting deeper and deeper.
How is me saying helicopter
into
smoke?
I think it's. I think the Mask company is the ones that like violated Godwin's law right off the bat by making Miles Mayhem look like Hitler.
Well, they made him look like a dictator.
Oh, makes it a lot better then. You know, if Miles Greb became a wrestler, he could be Miles.
Oh, my God. He'd probably be so into that. I love that guy.
I love the idea of him as a wrestler all of a sudden. Like, I'm really into it. Like, I don't know what faction he's going to be part of or what league, but I'm in. Find a way to find a show of that.
I think we got to have him back on the show.
Talk about his wrestling career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Scott's tuned out now.
I am so fucking tuned out right now.
All right, well, let's go. Okay, Matt Mask didn't go well, but...
No, I'm looking up muscle men on fucking
fandom
Wikipedia. And I'm looking at all of them, and I'm like,
did they
I remember.
They have numbers?
Both.
Oh, okay.
They had numbers, but I'm like reading their names, and I'm seeing the pictures of all of them, and I'm getting super like nostalgic right now. Sorry, I'll stop.
What's the acronym for muscle? Do you guys remember?
Then I don't know.
I know it's millions of unusual small. That's all I got.
Well, let's see. It should be on the stupid page. Of course it's not. Of course.
And did they actually have millions, like plural?
I think they had like 75 or 80 different.
No, there's 220 plus the rares and super rares. I don't know if the rares are part of the original 220 or not, but I don't think they are because I'm not seeing them up in the list. So yeah.
Oh, I guess they did have names too. Mammoth Man and Banky Man.
Dude, I miss these guys. All right, whatever. I'm gonna move on before I start.
Oh yeah, remember the guy who looked like a upside down pyramid with a head.
Yes,
yes. Actually, it was millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere.
There you go,
dude. I know what I'm gonna do with my 3D printer when I get it.
Oh, make a bunch of muscle men.
Fucking right. I was
trying to remember. They came in colors after a while too.
Yeah, there was a handful of them. Like those were the rares and the super rares. A couple of them were blue, and there was a red one. God. All right, whatever. Moving on. Underrated. This might sound silly to some people, but to me, whatever. G.I. Joes. because I had...
Those were underrated?
I had a handful of G.I. Joes, and I was, like, always super stoked until Kevin moved in across the street, and he literally had every single G.I. Joe on the planet, every aircraft carrier, everything. Like, the amount of G.I. Joes this kid had would have filled my bedroom. It was... I was always super jealous, and, you know, most people just stick firecrackers inside the rubber bands and blow them up, but I was always like, dude, I want Kevin's fucking G.I. Joes because I have four, and they all suck.
Man, I don't remember them being that underrated, though.
No, they weren't, but for me, three or four of them, when Kevin had fucking 800, yeah,
All right.
I'm never letting that one go.
I'll bite.
I had a backup, but I figured no one's going to pick that one, so whatever. If no one picks my backup, I'll...
Mine's super easy. The old AWA wrestling guys and the ring with the cage. Because the WWF wrestling guys were big, made of, like, rubber plastic, and they weren't posable, so they were just stuck in, like, suspended animation, and the ring was too big for the guys, so... All the guys, the tops of their heads were at the tops of the turnbuckles, so it was totally out of proportion. Whereas the AWA ring was sturdier, it was much smaller, and the guys were smaller, so they were all proportional, and their arms moved individually, the head moved individually, the legs moved individually, and they looked more like the actual guys, and it was the first set to come with a cage and the apron you could take off the ring, which was kind of awesome, where you could put stuff underneath it. It was like the first all-purpose pro wrestling extravaganza for 8-year-old me. Again, I had one ring and two guys, and my friend had one ring, the cage, all the guys. He had the microphone, he had the hat, he had the belt, he had everything. And then when I would go over there, I'd be like, oh, dude, let's play. And he'd be like, I already played all week long. I don't want to play right now. I'd be like, oh, that's...
He did that shit on purpose.
I'll call my Uncle Paul Bearer to come over and be like, no, for the next round.
If his uncle was Paul Bearer, I would never have left his house. I'm like, I'm just going to move in, and I just won't shower ever because I guess I'm not going to have a change of clothes. But I live here now. That kid had everything. It was so upsetting to me.
He was probably hollow inside, though.
He actually had a thing in his chest, so he did have some kind of chest surgery when he was in fourth grade. So he may literally have been hollow. He may literally have actually been hollow. Chris is looking at guns.
Mm-hmm. No, that's my...
candy bar?
My...
Underrated.
Yes. I actually have two underrated. Does anyone remember crossbows and catapults?
Yes.
Love it.
Oh my God.
I'd play it right now if I can get my hands on it.
I wanted that toy so bad.
Brian had it.
I had it.
It looked fucking awesome, dude. Hurling fucking discs with Viking pictures on it at fucking castles.
It was fucking awesome.
It was super fucking awesome. And I remember when we were in our early 20s and we all worked at the Polygraphics.
Yep.
Me and Mike went to the toy store, and they had a bin full of crossbows and catapult sets on clearance. We're like, dude, we're going to buy like 20 of these. We're going to go in this basement, and we're going to fucking play for like 5 hours. And then we went back, and they were all gone, and we never got to do crossbows and catapults.
It's at Walmart right now for $20.
Are you serious?
I think you can actually buy those.
Dude, going to Walmart after this?
Dude, I totally forgot about that. I do remember that game. That game was awesome. I just had to look up the picture and all the flooding back.
Yeah. I remember seeing the commercial for when I was a kid. I was like, oh, my God, I want that.
I can't believe you're like the only guy that ever had it then.
Yeah, I remember the little walls you built with the little pegs. Holy crap.
Yeah, you could build castles, and then you and your friends just fucking straight up all-out war and demolish each other.
Jeez, why did toy manufacturers even try to continue making toys after that came out? They'd be like, well, it's done. The toy has been made.
See, and this is the kind of... thing that really makes me angry, because Board Game Geek, Crossbow and Catapult's got a 6.5.
Like, didn't it come with like plastic, dude, like knights and site, Vikings?
This site just lost my respect.
See, that fucking rules, dude. I remember that it did.
To be fair, they have some stupid algorithm where if there's too many high scores for something, they flood it with low scores to kind of balance it out. It's really dumb.
Oh, yeah. Reddit does that. Like, things just get downvoted automatically after a certain period of time, too.
That's so dumb.
I think it's purposely, like, to keep Pandemic Legacy at number one, which is probably the most overrated thing of all time.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that game. I've never played it, but...
Battleground.
Ooh. I've never played Pandemic Legacy, but I owned Pandemic for a minute, and I hated it, so
Dude, Crossbows and Catapults is on eBay for $300.
Whoa!
You just said it was at Walmart.
It's...
The OG version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they re-released it like 7 years ago, it looks like.
It's called Battleground.
No, yeah. Never mind. Never mind. Walmart does not have it. So everyone get out of your cars, go back into your house. It's catapults and crossbows, and it's completely different.
Oh, poo. Well, my adulthood is ruined.
Well, looks like I need to get that 3D printer on the double. So I can
absolutely.
I can make crossbows and catapults a thing again.
Can we play it over Skype?
That would be weird.
So. Just flick it at the screen. Be like, well, the trajectory would have been right about here.
Like how people play, like, like chess over the phone. But you gotta be like, all right, now take your crossbow, 62 degrees.
That game should
degrees,
have lasted the test of time.
Like what? 4 pounds of pressure. Yeah, that would not work.
What kid doesn't want to fucking hurl plastic discs at their friends? What 40-year-old nope. man doesn't want to do that?
I agree.
No one.
Some of you, I won't say it.
Dude, we can get crossbows and catapults right now. And I could set up right here at this end. You could be at the other end, and we could sit here and flick that.
They did make an updated version with way cooler looking crossbows and catapults.
I think one of them has, like, it's called Battleground. Doesn't it have
yep.
cannon? It has cannons in it.
Yeah.
I'm super excited right now.
God, dude, this is like the third rabbit hole I've been in since we started this stupid show today.
I know. I'll do mine real quick. I don't know if either of you guys had this. It was definitely when I was very little. In the late 70s, but the ROM, the Space Knight toy.
I know, I had the comic books.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
R-O-M. He used to be on Marvel, now he's on IDW.
No, I was just going to say, I think IDW brought that back too.
Yep, yeah, they did.
Man, yeah, apparently they're actually working on a ROM, the Space Knight movie.
Neat.
Now I got to go buy all these ROM and mask comic books from the store and see if they're any good.
I don't remember if they're any good. I definitely had them when I was a kid. I remember having the ROM comics, and I had the toy had all these like interchangeable hands that all had essentially a different LED light that lit up, but I thought he was great. It probably did not age super well. In fact, looking at it right now, and it looks terrible. And it's going for $200 on eBay. But when I was a kid, when I was like 4 years old, because I think it came out in 79. When I was 4 years old, I was just like, this is something else. Like, this is a whole other world.
We went to this store for their garage sale thingy right before Christmas. I forget the name of the store now. But they had a bunch of toys like that in there that I was like, man, this thing is probably the worst toy ever, but somebody out there will pay like $900. But I did find a ton of awesome in their like warehouse. So that was, and I got them all for like
into it.
I sank the show in a matter of a minute.
I just keep looking at toys online now, and I can't find crossbows and catapults.
Dude, that's what I'm looking for, too, right now, because I'm like, dude, my 4-year-old son would listen.
I'm too upset to go on right now. I think we need to just call it a day.
All right, let's do it.
Let's see. Best thing ever. You know what? I was going to go with the Knights of Cydonia, but I figured since I rambled about it already, I won't pick it. So I'm going to be the first one to say that we started playing X-Wing Miniatures, and I want to go, that's the best thing ever, because that game is actually, it looks like it's super fun, and then when you actually play it, it's way more fun than you can ever imagine. So I'm going to go X-Wing Miniatures.
All right. I'll stick with the game thing, and I'm going to say Belfort.
Mm.
Because before yesterday, I was really ready to just put it in some kind of box and sell it to somebody, but now I think I really love this. Pretty stoked on it.
Christopher?
Crossbows and catapults.
I like it.
I have to find it now. I got to get myself a goddamn copy. But X-Wing's miniature.
I mean, I don't know what God has to do with it, but
the awesome. X-Wing miniatures, yes, I do agree. I have to play because I have ships that I have not been able to use yet.
All right.
And it's been 2 weeks.
Damien?
Being back on the show.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, good thank one. You.
Well, I think we can all say that because we've all been gone for a while, but he's been gone the longest, so we'll let him have it.
Let him have his moment.
All right, so that's going to be our show for the week. I've closed the internet. I don't know whose pick it is next week, but check the Comic Roast Instagram that Brian's going to start to find out what our number one's going to be Damien. And what our over-under is going to be. And, yeah, stay tuned for a lot of board game stuff coming soon. And don't forget to go to reviewandroast.com to read all of our stuff, reviews on everything that we do. And, yeah, have a good week.